Welcome to the Niched Agency Podcast, where we delve into the journey of owners who have gone from saying yes to everyone and every project to thriving industry leaders and authorities. Here's your host, Ryan McGovern.
Hello and welcome. For those of you that don't know me yet, I'm Ryan McGovern. I'm currently the Director of Sales and Marketing at SEO Brothers, white label SEO company. Prior to that, owned a few of my own agencies. Some were gigantic failures. One was pretty successful though. Sold millions of dollars of digital services and helped a ton of agencies with their personal growth, just as our guest has today. Our guest today joined with us, Justin Jarena, founder and CEO of My Business, My Website, as well as SiteSwan. Thank you for being here, Justin.
Awesome, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
So I want to just dive right into your entrepreneurial journey. Where did it start? We're talking about two businesses today, which is kind of unique to the show and kind of exciting. Take us back in time, if you will.
Yeah. My entrepreneurial journey started in business law class, where a friend that I had just met and I were sitting down and in the back of the room, really kind of stressing about the fact that when we graduate, we would have to do this super long commute to Manhattan because we're from Long Island, New York. If you're not familiar at all, it's the suburb.
Yeah, that's not a great commute. Yeah.
No, it's not. You're like, you know, an hour and a half or so inside of a train each direction.
A metal box.
And that's the thing. Like, if you want a marketing job in New York, you're going to go to the city, which I have nothing against the city. I love the city, but I did not feel like wasting my life away inside of a train. So we both kind of had this concern and we said, well, what the hell are we going to do with our marketing degrees? We can't possibly waste away inside of a train. So we set out to do something. And it just so happened he'd gotten this internship with someone who was building websites for small businesses. And I've always been interested in web design. I'm like, you've got to introduce me to her. Like, let's talk. And we got into doing these websites on an antiquated platform that was just awful. And we had to charge like $5,000 or $7,000 to get a site off the ground. And no one was willing to pay for it. And it was just a nightmare.
And that was just purely due to the fact that there was just so much labor that had to go into it. And it was just
not easy enough
to do, right? Yeah, okay.
Not easy enough. And this is 15, 18 years ago. So even more so, $5,000 to $7,000 is a lot of money to get a site off the ground for a typical small business. Like, we're just getting so many no's, just people laughing at us because of the price.
Yeah, in the 2000s or the 2010s.
Yeah. So we eventually got off of whatever platform that she was using and we started to figure stuff out on our own using Dreamweaver and all this fun HTML stuff. And we got to a point where we're like, geez, you know what? We're doing the same thing over and over again. Like, our focus was small to medium-sized businesses. And when you consider what a small to medium-sized business needs, it's essentially the same stuff.
Yeah.
We were reinventing the wheel.
The same 10 pages or so. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, isn't there a better way to just like build out these sites when they've got a very similar framework? And we went nuts trying to figure out a good solution and finally said, you know what? We just have to build something ourselves. So we had a relationship with some developers because of some projects that we had done just kind of on the side. And we launched a website building platform that was specifically designed for small business websites. And we used it exclusively for the purposes of our clients who we were taking on. We totally streamlined the process, revolutionized the way we were able to get these sites off the ground. And then it wasn't until we started getting hired by other agencies because we were able to do the work so cheap because they were just basically taking our sites and then marking them up and reselling them to their clients.
So you just kind of fell into a white label sort of situation? Okay. Yeah.
Like, wait a second. So there's obviously other agencies who need a tool like this. So we said, well, instead of just upselling the sites we're doing, let's give them access to the tool that we have, and then they can do it all themselves. So that was the birth of our website builder called SiteSwan. And then we've done some other stuff from there to help our sort of agency clients. It was a very interesting journey because of the fact that it all kind of stemmed from having a true significant problem. Having a problem, as you know better than probably anybody, is the best way to start a business, is to solve a problem. And if you're doing that, you are at a much higher likelihood of finding success because any solution to a legitimate problem is a great business model.
Yeah, that's a great way to start. And we're talking about two parties here. Who else are we talking about now? And what was this person's role like with you? This is your founding partner?
Yes. Yeah. So my co-founder, his name is Bobby. And, you know, what's really cool about working with a business partner and I'd imagine you could speak very well to this as well, is that if you can find someone, I think there's actually kind of three things that are important. If you can find someone who's got the same level of drive as you, who starts off in the same financial position as you, and who is complementary in terms of what your capabilities are, you're golden.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because I had a 50-50 partnership once where we were starting out on way different playing fields with how much we were making and how much we had in our savings account. And it tanked. That toxic, it just turned so toxic. We were partners for, like, it only lasted like a year and a half. But we built some great sites and did some good work, but we just had to part ways. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Those three things are so important. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you guys were in the same college class together. Of course, you're on the same plane.
Exactly.
School. Yeah.
Exactly. We had exactly $0. So
yeah, very motivated to like get off the ramen and like, yeah, let's not take the train. And like, I want to start eating some great meals and going out.
Right. And that was the thing too. I remember because like we graduated college and the day after I was renovating the upstairs in my house and we're setting up desks, setting up our computers, and we were getting to work. My friends are partying, doing all this stuff. I'm like, where are
chasing the bag?
Not to say I didn't like to go out and have a good time, but like, you just completed 4 years of work in college. How are you not incredibly eager to apply that to funding your existence the moment that you have that diploma in your hand?
Yeah, I had, but 2 months prior to having my web design diploma, I had a partner ready to go already. And I just came right out into that business and started building with them. But I know that's a totally legit point where you see a lot of people do it though. And it's probably because they're just not passionate about what they do. And it's pretty obvious that you are. So,
you know, what's funny too, is that I'm not going to say his name, but a really good friend of ours, he was the type of guy who just never had a job, like all throughout high school.
Just a gig guy.
And then even in college, just never had a job. And even when he graduated from college, he still didn't have a job. And he was like, yeah, I'll get to it. So we actually set up a site. We got his first name and last name and just got a .com and set up a site for him. And it was basically a count up timer from the moment he was able to work until now.
And it just was job.
Like, he's never had a job for this long.
But just like floating on his parents, or
I don't know. He told us birthday money. That was an excuse he had. I'm like, where are you getting the money to buy this? It's like birthday money.
Yeah,
like, how much money do you get for your birthday?
My grandparents give me 10 grand every year for my birthday, no problem. They're pretty loaded, so I'm good. That's so funny. It, like, totally unbeknownst to him, you built this site. Didn't ask.
Yeah, we had to do it.
Yeah. What was your graduating year?
2005.
So yeah, in 2005, how much could you purchase a domain for? Like $2, $3? I'm kidding. Yeah, that's a good prank. I like that. You showed it to him eventually, I take it.
Oh, yeah. He did need us to take it down though when he was sending out job applications because people were finding it. Like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
But
that's hilarious.
Well, that's one of the benefits of being in web design is you could do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Have some fun with it.
You know what else is really fun? To just pull up, like do a screen share and like pull up someone's site and go into console and change like their H1 to something ridiculous. And then they're like, oh, I can't. Wait, what? What's happening? Wait, whatever you just did, undo it. I'm like, I didn't do anything. It always said some ridiculous fact about llamas or farm creatures. I didn't do that. No, don't do that. Unless you know your prospect's got a really good sense of humor. Okay, so that was the beginning of Sites One. This is 2005-ish, 2006-ish. That's many years ago now. Tell us a little bit about the evolution. So you came from you and your partner to where you at? Where are you at now?
Yeah, so technically we launched Sites One in 2011. So we were kind of stumbling through web design for a long time.
Oh, so there was a 6-year period there where you guys were like building sites and doing gigs? Is that?
Yep, we were doing the sites, coding them, using, like I said, Dreamweaver, using whatever tools we could find, WordPress, we used it all. Mm-hmm. And at that time, some of the other website builders that we know today weren't out yet or weren't sufficient enough yet. But, you know, it all kind of stemmed from, at least at that time, where like we would build, let's say, a WordPress site and put it in front of a business owner so they could make changes, which they'd want to do oftentimes. And we just watched their eyes roll to the back of their head and be like,
I like lost them already.
Yeah. So it was just too much. You know, like there's like WordPress is really great for doing a lot of great stuff. Like it's a great, great tool. But it was over, it was almost too powerful. It was too much going on for the simple types of sites that a typical small business needs.
For the average Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like just you're it's instant overwhelm. And we set out to obviously do things very differently. And when we first, launched our platform, like you couldn't even change the font. You couldn't even change the font size. Like you couldn't do anything. But that was also a different time in terms of web design. We're like, you know, you can get away with a lot more. But no one questioned it. No one argued it. And it worked out fantastic. So yeah, we went from like this one layout that you could use on the platform with one font color size.
Single template.
That's all that was
available.
Doesn't
matter if you're a dog groomer or a dentist. Here's our template.
Exactly. And it was completely blank, nothing in it. Just like, here's where the header goes and here's where this goes and here's where the map goes. And here's where the... Look at the time. It worked really, really well and people loved it. But over time, we have created a really cool systematic way to build these sites that are, you know, we have like 300 plus themes that are industry specific. So in your example, a dog groomer versus a dentist versus a contractor, landscaper, whatever. They really look great and they're all fleshed out with content ready to go. So like now, like we used to go, what everyone did at the time, which was you go to a business and say, hey, I want to sell you a website, right? Here's some of the work I've done before in case you care. And I could do something like that for you. I need $1,000 deposit and I'll work on something to see if we're on the same page. It's kind of the way you sold a site at that time. And a lot of people still do. Now we've taken our platform to the point where the only way that I will sell a site to a small business is the show and sell method, where you show them something before you ask for a single dollar.
Yeah.
And you have to obviously have the tools that afford you the ability to do that. But mm-hmm. the pitch totally changes because now you say, hey, Mr. Business Owner, I've got some really great ideas for a website for your business that I think you're going to love. And I have a design I've been working on. I think you're really going to like, we just have a couple minutes on the phone. I'll go over it with you.
Yeah.
And that's a very different approach. And one that if you're using, like I said, the right tools, you can pump out really quickly. So like we realized that opportunity from like going to Costco because you get those free samples at Costco. And I can't tell you how many purchases I've made because I sampled something in one of the aisles.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Like, damn, that cheesecake was good. I need more of that. Yeah.
The idea of not being able to try something before you buy it just seemed so peculiar. Like you'd never not test drive a vehicle before you buy it. You would never not smell a cologne before you buy it. There's so many things in life that we always have to sort of try, experience, see before we put our money into it. So we realized that that was the missing component of website sales. So one of the things we built into the SitesOne platform that enabled us to do it was instant site creation, where you just type the business name in. We access all this information from their Google profile. You choose a theme and click create site. Now you have a fully fleshed out site with all the content in it, with their information injected into the site. It looks like a $5,000 site that it took you all 30 seconds to build. And now when you're showing this off, you've got instant credibility and the client thinks that you legitimately have spent hours or days or even weeks working on this design for them because it suits them perfectly.
Yeah. And it doesn't really matter because like, it's not like it's unethical because you put so much time and effort into building the platform to be able to do that. I imagine that AI has made things a little easier. Are you having AI writing meta descriptions and page titles, et cetera?
Exactly. All the meta tags are in there ready to go.
So did business get a lot quicker after the ChatGPT boom?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the truth is that we were able to pump out these themes so much faster. And it really helped us make sure that we're doing as good of a job as we can possibly do with putting these designs in front of our clients. And like one of the major challenges that people have when they are putting together a website is, where am I going to come up with the content? Right? Like that was like the major, major roadblock for how long?
Ask a plumber to write a couple of paragraphs about their business. See what you get back.
It's brutal. So like that would be one of the main bottlenecks in the process for getting a site launched. And when you can have that part of the puzzle piece already there for you, holy cow, that allows you to just, like I just sold a website to a landscaper. And let's be honest, right? Every landscaper kind of does the same thing, right? They have the same list of services. They have the same capabilities.
Here's my snow removal and here's my landscape installation page. And yeah.
Exactly. So you don't really need to ask the client anymore anyway for what they do.
But just their location know. And like maybe if there's something that makes them super unique, obviously. But
right.
I need what city you're in and I need your business name and I'm probably good to go.
Exactly. That's been one of, I think, one of the biggest impacts that AI has had on the web development world is that you can really go from initial concept of a design to site launch faster than ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, has really excelled a lot of agencies, especially those that solely do web design or solely do content generation. I know for us, we're an SEO company. We obviously write a lot of content. It's helped tremendously, at least get that starting point and then putting the human touch into it, get it to a point where it's good enough for a partner to look at it and get their approval.
Right.
And it comes back. They always come back with changes. We always need to make some iterations. But after that change happened, the requests that came back for iterations were either much less or not at all, or it was like, hey, this, it sounds a little robotic. And like, oh, all right, we'll start over. So yeah, we felt that same thing happen. For my business website though, how did SiteSwan turn into you owning this entirely different entity?
Yeah, so, well, the story goes is that we started our agency first and then problem solved. So we realized there was a problem in the agency. We couldn't build the sites fast enough, cheap enough, efficient enough. So then we built the SiteSwan product. But it would be easy to understand if I said, yeah, so we ditched the agency and just focused on the software because that made a lot of money. But the reality is this, right? If you have a product that is designed to help people in a specific niche or industry, I think it's incredibly important that you have an active role in that industry or niche so that you can better understand how the product you're offering to that industry needs to modify, enhance, get changed over time to better serve that industry or niche. So as much as I'm like, okay, you know, we could work with all these different entrepreneurs and agencies to help them get signed up with SiteSwan and help them find success, I still, not only do I love working with small businesses, not only do I really care about their success, especially when they're up against all these larger brands that are infiltrating Main Street.
Yeah.
But it gives us access to understand exactly what the types of things that they're saying to their web design agencies that they work with so that we can better prepare our SiteSwan clients for it. Because a big part of what we do with SiteSwan is being able to say, hey, look, this is what you're going to be faced with. This is what you're going to be up against. This is what they might say. Here's how to overcome this objection, that objection. Here's what to say, when to say it, how to say it, sales sheets, email scripts, like all this stuff. And the only way you can know that stuff is if you're in the trenches doing the work yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just build up that list over time of objections and how to overcome them. And yeah, that's a beautiful thing when you've been doing something for so long that you've just got it. You've heard it all.
Right. And then like, I love like when like I'll talk to SiteSwan reseller of ours and they'll be like, oh, you know what? I didn't get this sale because of this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, did you do A, B, and C like we advised you to? And they're like, well, no, I didn't think I had to. It's like, no. There's a reason why I'm excited to do this. Like,
those weren't like light suggestions. Yeah.
Like, one of the things that we realized on our own a long time ago was something that we've just called the homepage presentation. The homepage presentation is a very systematic way that you go through from top to bottom the entire website homepage, explaining to the client exactly what they're looking at and why it's there. And if you go through this homepage presentation the way we advise, we have like a 95% closing percentage rate when you present a site that way.
Can you give me like the very basic frame of that? It's like, this is what a header tag is, and this is what your hero image is, and this is what your call to action is, like that sort of deal.
We take it a little bit a step further and talking in the type of terms that a business owner will understand.
Yeah, layman. Yeah, okay.
Like one of the first things we'll say is like, let's start at the top of the screen and let's look on the top left where we have your logo. It's on the top of the screen. Notice that it's clickable to take you back to the homepage, which is best practice, so that if someone is unsure if they're on the homepage or not, they can click that and find your homepage. Next to that is your navigation. We've laid out 6 pages, which we feel would be best for your industry. So we have a homepage, an About Us page that tells your story, an Our Services page that breaks down exactly all the different things you offer. We have a photo gallery, a testimonials, and then a Contact Us page. And I haven't done those pages yet. I haven't done those pages yet. But when we take the next step, I'll make sure to flesh those out. And then we talk about the hero image.
At no point did you say something like navigation or call to action. It, like you said, it's all like my grandmother could understand that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So we say the hero image, you know, like the main thing that people are seeing, like, so say, all right, notice on this landscaping, whatever, it's a landscaping site, you know, Detroit's number one landscaping service, whatever the terminology we have on our landscaping theme. And we'll say, look, this is exactly the types of things that people are typing into search engines when they're looking for a landscaper in Detroit. We have some supporting text, which helps people understand exactly why you stand out as one of the best landscapers in Detroit. And then we have a big fat button right here that allows people to go to the contact page of your site so they can send you their information so that you can reach back out to them.
That's beautiful. So you created this whole thing. You created this framework for like, here, client, take this PDF I put together with videos or whatever and go use it as many times as you want.
Exactly, because one of the things that we found is that what you have to kind of ask yourself, if you can answer the question before they say it, you're golden. And the question is, why is this here? If you can answer that question before they say it, you will get to the bottom of that site and you will have the damn thing sold.
Golden.
Because when you're showing that intent was put into every aspect of that homepage design, you have built an incredible amount of trust and credibility when you go and now ask for the sale. So you get to the bottom of the site and you say, hey, so now that I've shown you everything we've been working on, what's your knee-jerk reaction? What do you think? And all they can say is, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they say because you've explained everything.
Well, what's funny about that is that I used to do the same thing, but with a Photoshop file where I'd have individual images and I'd tell them all about the buttons and all the whole thing, take them down the whole page. But because I couldn't navigate at all, it made it a little more challenging.
What's interesting is that when you get to the bottom, one of my favorite things, and any web designer will tell you this, is when they start making changes and they say, oh, you got my, we don't do emergency service for trees. So like, you got to take that out.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll actually make an intentional error on their phone number or something really obvious.
Or like the formatting of their address or something.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
We got to change this. So I know they're paying attention. I know that they're going, because I'm doing this somewhat blind, right? Like we're doing it over the phone.
Sure.
They're on their computer. I'm on my computer. I'm telling them, scroll with me, and I take them through each section. So it's a way for me to know that they're paying attention. It's also a way for them to start taking ownership. Because once they do make edits, that's them mentally taking ownership of it.
Yeah, they just bought in without paying. Yeah.
So then you say, oh, you know what? We did screw that up. But you know what? I will make that change as well as finish all the rest of the pages on the site. All I need from you is the setup fee on a credit card. Do you want to use MasterCard, Visa, or Discover?
You can't get any easier than that. You just can't.
So that's the thing. Like when we consult our site spawn resellers and they're like, I didn't sell this site. It's like, great. You did a homepage presentation like we advised you to? No, I didn't need to because I just sent them a text with it. I'm like, hello, that's not
the
process. So yeah, it's we take all this experience that we've had firsthand with selling to businesses individually ourselves as an agency. And then we just package it up all nicely, pass it along to our Sitespawn clients because we know it works. And we're very passionate about helping others find their success. And we love the agency business and the model. And we're all about it.
Yeah, that's our thing too. It's like, we don't sell SEO. We help scale agencies. And you don't sell websites. You help scale agencies too. That's a great point. So what's your client base look like for Sitespawn? Is it that? Is it just that? Lots and lots of agency owners?
So we have a combination of clients. We have people who have built a couple of websites before. Maybe they have used Wix or WordPress or Duda or GoDaddy or whatever. And they got frustrated or they are frustrated or they're having difficulty closing clients who don't have a large budget. So we'll get them because they're looking for a faster, smarter way to scale up their design agency. We'll also get people who are stuck in their web design business because of the fact that they don't know where to go to find leads or how to pitch them. So we have this really cool thing called the prospecting tool where you can actually do a search within our platform by industry or keyword term, along with their zip code, find all the businesses in the area that fit into that category. And then from there, click create site and find a theme that works. And now you have a site built for them.
That's really cool. Guys, whoever's listening, listen up here. That's amazing. You thought of everything.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that really kind of took us to the next level in terms of uptake from agencies. Because like, look, if you're a web designer, right? You don't necessarily have all the business skill sets that you need to be successful as a web designer. Yeah. You know how to design websites, right?
It's very rare to find somebody who's got great soft skills and also great code. Right. I will say that much. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the idea of having a plan to sell sites to scale up your business is not something a lot of designers come to the table with. So not only do we have that prospecting tool, but we put together what we call a 14-day launch plan. So which is basically for everyone who comes on board, if you do these actions for 14 days that we clearly lay out for you, you have an incredibly high percentage of selling your first site. And it's really simple stuff. It's just activities that you need to do. You don't even have to leave your house to do them. It's just stuff you got to do. But so we have folks like that. And we also have this whole realm of people who want to start a side hustle. Like they want to do something for themselves on the side. They want to do it from home. They don't want to leave their house. They are interested in computers. They kind of like technology a little bit, but they just don't know what the hell to do. So we take people with like zero experience. I've never built a website before.
Everyone and their grandmother wants to start a marketing company these days. Like, you can't scroll Instagram for more than 2 minutes without getting hit with a like, you want some to make some side money? Like marketing is where it's at. So yeah, I can imagine that you get some people like that.
Yeah, it's because people think it's, and not incorrectly, they think it's a thing you could do from a remote kind of setup that has a residual or recurring revenue aspect to it, which is critical. You don't need a degree or certification for. So you like think of all the different types of businesses that have recurring revenue, right? A lot of them do require some sort of very specific experience, some very specific knowledge, or a certificate of some kind. You can't get into insurance because that's a recurring revenue model, but you can't get into that without going through extensive schooling and certifications to be able to offer insurance to someone. When you go down that list of things that fit into that, there aren't a heck of a lot.
Ongoing SEO. That's our whole bag is MRR.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about the platform itself? So this is a proprietary thing, I'm assuming, that you and your partner built together back in the day, and you've iterated on many, many, many times in the last 19 years.
Right. Exactly.
Can you tell us the framework? And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So we built SiteSpawn from the ground up, all in the US, with the very specific intent of building small business websites and managing them effortlessly. And our framework has always been modeled around simplicity. So like if you wanted to, I'll give you a quick example. If you wanted to adjust the left and right side padding of an image by 3 pixels, that's not something you could do on our platform. And designers will usually immediately vehemently object to that idea. Like, how can I not have pixel perfect accuracy with every little thing on my site, no matter what?
I mean, that would drive me nuts. I don't really blame them.
But here's the problem, right? When you start to be able to have very intricate controls over every placement of every pixel, it's very difficult to remain consistent from post to post, page to page.
Yeah, true. You over-optimizing is terrible, yeah. but it's something you all want to do, but that you know you shouldn't. So, yeah.
Exactly. And here's the thing. This is like for a lot of our clients who do come from the web design world, SiteSpawn is a tool in their tool belt. It's not something that they use for every single site that they build. But when you have a client who's adamant they can't spend over $1,000 up front and they can't spend over $100 a month, this is a really great solution for them to be able to get 99.5% of what they want out of a site that they are more than happy to pay that amount for. Because I'll tell you what cripples agencies. What cripples agencies is not saying no enough. Like just because you can do something, you physically know how to do the thing they're asking you to do, does not mean you should be doing it.
Yeah, that was one of the, right when I got out of college, started my first agency, I had to say yes to every project that came in the door. And I had really, really shitty, huge e-com sites that I ended up dumping 8 times as much hours as I thought into it. Like, oh, good Lord, help me. And there's like the first people that when we started getting good clients in the door, like, gotta let you go. This guy's name is Art. I'll never forget Art. Art had expectations through the roof and he had tens of thousands of SKUs. Oh my God. By saying yes to that, we hindered ourselves dramatically. So yeah, whoever, if someone's listening right now that needs to hear that right now, don't say no to the sketchy yellow flag person that you've got as a prospect right now. Say no. Let him go.
Yeah. That's the thing. Every time, if you can get better at saying no, every time you say no, you're actually saying yes to other opportunities.
Yeah, you're opening another door.
If something is not clearly going to set your business on the trajectory that it's currently going at to reach the threshold or the goal that you have set out for your business, you have an obligation to say no, because you're actually then saying yes to the things that will let you find your trajectory in your business. It's critical. It's a muscle that you have to work out. You have to get comfortable saying it. And here's the thing too, like, you know, when someone will, and look, and I'm not saying you, because again, the people who are using SiteSwan, they don't always have, this is the only tool in their tool belt. But when you say to a business owner who says, oh, hey, what I really want to do is I want to have these floating balloons and this thing over here and the scrolling text and this thing that's popping out of it, whatever it is that they're asking for, right?
A video hero.
Right. You could say two things. You could say either, no, I can't do that. Or you could also say, I could totally do that for you. That sounds like a great idea. It's complex though. So I actually need to have you on a different platform in order to do that. And instead of it being like $1,000 up front, it's going to be more like $3,500 or $5,500 up front. And that monthly fee is going to change too. That's going to go up because it's a lot more to manage. But I could totally do that for you. Do you want to do that?
All of a sudden, that fancy CSS isn't so attractive.
And all of a sudden, their needs suddenly change. I'm like, oh, I don't really need it. Let's put that off for later. Just deal with this for now. And
that's a really good nugget that you guys can take away, is explaining the difference between those two things. Because yes, like sites. One, you guys are industry leading, amazing, but you've got other tools out there that you can go build sites on easily. Explain the difference between that and something that's custom, like a custom WordPress theme. Getting the layman, putting it in layman's terms, getting that layman to understand the difference and why you need to charge so much more. Huge difference in how you're going to approach that person and how you're going to be able to close.
Right, exactly.
So how can you be, I've been wondering this to myself for months now, since I've been out of that game for so long. The last little over 3.5 years I've been here at SEO Brothers. How can you be just a web designer in 2024? Do you have to be like bougie white gloves?
Good question.
How do you make money now? Because you'd have to have so much, if you're coming in with taking, you know, a very low, not very low effort, but minimal effort at a higher volume, it's hard to find leads for web design, because web design companies are a dime a dozen. I'm sorry to say it, guys, but they are a dime a dozen. And if you're not standing out somehow, you're going to get left behind. But yeah, what do you think about that question?
So it's all about scaling up. No one starts a web design business to sell 5 sites. No one does, right? So you have to have a picture painted for the amount of money that you want to make and just figure out, well, how many sites will it take to get me there? The platform that we've built is specifically designed around scalability. Like, we have 3 plans that people choose from when they get started.
Yeah.
It's 10 sites, 20 sites, or 100 sites.
Ah, okay. That makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
That's what people are doing. Like, so the majority of our clients start at 20 sites, they graduate to 100 sites, and we have a lot of folks who went way beyond 100. But the idea is that you do not need a team, you do not need a staff to be able to manage several hundred sites, because of the fact that, number one, you can grant your clients access to the sites to manage themselves if you'd like to. Number two, a typical small business doesn't even ask you for a lot of changes on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And number three, if they like their site and it's working and they like you, if you pick up the phone when they call or get back to them within 24 hours, they have no reason to leave you.
Yeah. And the $50 maintenance fee that you're charging them, you're not going to have to use that either.
Exactly. So like, the thing is this, businesses don't like making the switch unless there is a problem they're looking to solve for. So like, there's a lot of problems they have, right? The site's ugly, it's broken, it's outdated. The person who's doing the site for me doesn't get back to me. They're overpriced, doesn't get found in search results. The list goes on and on, right? And you could solve some of those problems without making a switch in providers. But for a lot of people, they think that everything has to get rebuilt. They want to start fresh. So there are a lot of reasons why people do switch. But if you're providing reliable service, you don't drag your feet to respond to people, and your site that you've built for them is getting them results, they literally have no reason to cancel. And we've seen amazing retention rates with folks keeping small businesses on board on the platform. We've seen it ourselves. Like, literally, we launched our
years
platform
and
in
years
2011.
Go by, and yeah.
I can still point you to about a dozen sites that we sold in 2011 or 2012 that I haven't heard a thing from.
And they're on their 14th year.
It's just the nature of this industry. And I'm not saying you should avoid your clients by any means. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm not saying you shouldn't initiate conversations with them and do quarterly conference calls to see how their business is evolving, to make sure the site's evolving with it.
I mean, hell, if you've got a credit card on the hosting and that sucker's auto-renewing, like...
Yeah, I know. It's really hard to disrupt that.
Yeah. It's not broke. Don't fix it.
Yeah. But at the same time, to answer your question, like, how are you going to survive, right? Like, we do advocate for having additional services that you sell to your clients.
So same, obviously, we're an SEO company. We want every agency to have reliable, scalable SEO. But I think a trap that a lot of agency owners fall into is trying to offer everything and then sucking at all of it instead of being like really good at a couple of them. Would you agree? Yeah.
100%. So like a couple of years back, we built in a reputation management feature into our platform. So not only could you sell them a site, but you could sell them reputation management to help them optimize their Google, Yelp, and Facebook reviews.
Did you build that as well? Or is that like BirdEye or something? Okay, cool.
It's all built into the platform.
Awesome.
So that's a really easy thing that's totally hands-off. That is a very easy upsell to a typical small business. And that right there can double the amount of income that you get from a website client.
Yeah, more than double the value of that site to them too.
Yeah.
They're going to get a hell of a lot more traffic. And
exactly.
Like, they're going to be a hell of a lot more qualified when they come in.
Right. We're all about scalable stuff, right? So there's a lot of other stuff people can get into. And if something speaks to you, like if email marketing speaks to you, if text message marketing speaks to you, if SEO, for example, anything else speaks to you, you feel like you have an opportunity to sell, you, by all means, should and need to be going out and doing that so long as you're solving a need your clients have. Don't force it upon people. But one of the things that we also found, we discovered this accidentally, is that the concept of local listings, right, is something we all know about, but more specifically, a listing on a site that you host. So what we've done about 6 years ago is we launched another software called Ideal Directories. And what happens is our agency clients will build a website for their town or city, and they will feature their website clients on the site so that it helps with their SEO, gives them another place where they exist online, and is something else they can sell to their client.
That's cool. It's like a mini Forbes Council kind of thing.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard of Forbes Council. By the way, here's another little nugget, guys. If you get emails from Forbes Council, tell them to F off. Sorry. It's a scam. It's a complete scam. You're going to have to pay thousands of dollars just to have a little badge on your site that says Forbes Council. That was recent for me, so I've got my blood's a little hot about that one at the moment, but that's a complete side note there. A complete aside, if you will.
You know what? I don't think Better Business Bureau is far away from that either. Not to call people out here, but like...
If you Google it, just Google it. Look at the first page of something like, is Forbes Council legit? That SERP. It's just like headings of angry bloggers that are like, fucking hate this company so much. But yeah, there's, speaking of traps, like that's a trap. And there's all sorts of companies out there that want to take advantage of you guys. And just knowing the right people to talk to before you get into situations like that are great. If you've got Justin in your corner and you run this by him, he's going to be able to tell you that because he's been doing this for so long. So yeah, I think not that I bring guests on here to promote their own businesses, but if you guys are in any need of a great website, a scalable website solution, and what you've heard about SiteSwan sounds attractive, I would strongly encourage you to get in touch with Justin and his team. Do you have a account executives or something, like who's handling intake?
Yeah, so not only do we have account executives, but we also have customer success advisors also. And we actually walk you through the entire process of launching your marketing site, getting your first site sold.
Wow, launching your own, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. Like if you're an entrepreneur coming into this, right, you don't have anything that tells the world you sell websites. So we give you a marketing site so you can do exactly that.
Gotta legitimize
because
yourself.
Someone's like, tell me more about your business. And you're like, here's my Facebook page. Like that doesn't.
Yeah. I build websites, but not for me. I just saw the famous saying, like the cobbler's son wears no shoes or wears crappy shoes, whatever it is. I find that to be true. Like so often when I talk to people, it's kind of true for us right now with our own organic SEO. We like for SERPs like White Label SEO, best White Label SEO in Canada, US, we used to be one, two, hovering around there. we kind of dropped lately and something that we need to put initiative into. But yeah, our sons are wearing crappy shoes right now. But that's another thing, is that your presence has to be amazing. For that first experience that a prospect comes to your site, they land on your site, and the first experience that they get with you, it's got to be a good one. So take the time to do it right for yourself too. Justin, it's been a blast talking to you, man. That's going to be it for us today, though. Unfortunately, we're coming up on our time. I've been your host, guys, Ryan McGovern. Thank you so much to our guests for being here. And thank you all so much for tuning in. If you've gotten this far into the episode, I love you. Hit the subscribe button, download, share, all that great stuff. If you're an agency owner trying to niche, trying to scale your business, I want to talk to you about SEO. I'd love to speak with you. My email is ryan@seobrothers.co, or find me on LinkedIn, Ryan McGovern. It's the first image that pops up with a guy with a really goofy looking face. And also, if you've heard anything, I spoke to this a little bit ago, but if you've heard anything that has intrigued you about SiteSwan or from Justin, he would also love to get a hold of you guys too. Justin, how can they do that?
Sure, they can do that by heading over to my website, justingerina.com. That's spelled G-E-R-E-N-A. So justingerina.com. Or if you want to learn about SiteSwan, it's siteswanlikethebird.com.
Well, can we connect on LinkedIn, or can they connect on LinkedIn? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Every now and then I log into LinkedIn. It's wonderful.
Once a week or once every... Yeah, that's so funny.
I am accessible on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, email is preferred for everyone, let's be real. That's it for us today. Justin, thank you again, man. You were great.
Thank you, Ryan.